1649 to St. George's Hill. A ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to Diggers.
Welcome to Radio Free Canada. I'm your host, Kevin Annett, with my co-host, Katie Stokoe. Welcome back after a week. This is Radio Free Canada at bbsradio.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Liberated Territory, formerly known as Canada, now under the common law jurisdiction of the Republic of Kanata. And we are welcoming everyone tuning in, especially the hundreds of adherents of the New Republic all across our land, all the different many nations who are uniting to reclaim our land according to the vision you just heard about, which lingers in our hearts as free men and women, as sovereign men and women. We're reclaiming our land and our laws. This show is a way to share experiences, to garner the movement together, and to lead a way forward for people. We have a lot of reports coming in across the country of men and women attempting to enact the common law, to issue the stand-down orders to the Crown officials. And we're going to be hearing from some of them today, especially two of them, besides Katie and I, who are very active in organizing the work of the Republic on the ground. You've heard from one of them before. Teresa Harrison out in Manitoba, one of the original signatories to the Declaration of Independence 2 months ago on January 15th. You can see all of this at kanatarepublic.ca, our official website. And the other guest is Karen, one of the main conveners in central Kanata in Ontario, who is very active in organizing branches of the Republic there. And she's going to be talking about workshops that are being organized in Ottawa, Toronto, and other places over the coming month, to train people in the common law and actual sheriff training to establish the force, if you like, that's going to bring about the Republic on the ground. So we're going to be talking about that stuff over the next hour. And we urge you to write into us at republicofkanata@gmail.com if you have ideas for programs, if you'd like to participate and talk about your own campaigns. We know that two of the campaigns people are especially active in right now is to confront the so-called Canadian Revenue Agency, the fraudulent taxation agency that's, as in the United States with the IRS, we find time and again commercial fraud being perpetrated on many ordinary people in our country, and also the campaign to expose overt child trafficking through the government system. These are two big movements that we're actively organizing with people on the ground about. So we're going to be hearing about that over the next number of weeks. We also have next week a common law activist from Wales, Kevin Edwards, calling in to talk about how they are establishing common law courts to reclaim the Welsh territory from the so-called English nation. So lots to do, lots to build upon. And we will be talking with Karen and Teresa today about all this. Katie, welcome.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm beautiful. How about you?
Good. Good, thank you.
I wanted
it's good
to...
good to be with you.
Yeah, as always, and I'm welcoming your ancestors from the Algonquin Nation as people who are heirs to this land that we, according to the original Tura Wampum, are to share under the Creator as settler nations alongside you. And that's why it's especially important, I think, we talk a little bit about the show we did last week, where we had Joshua Lamens from the West Coast and Peter Gilliquill from Central Kanata talking about their perspectives as Aboriginal activists. And I want to first ask you, you know, I know you felt fairly strongly with some of the things that were said, and I wanted to give you the chance to comment.
Yeah, well, concerning Joshua, I had a number of emails, just side chats with folk who were listening to the show last week, and they were quite confused as to Joshua's position that he, in defending the government, and specifically about the programs for natives that he spoke about. And so I just kind of wanted to put it out there, put the fish on the table, as the natives would call it, and have a discussion about that.
Yeah, you know, it's really important to be clear about this stuff, because we said from the very beginning in this work we've been doing for many years that the Crown of England and the Government of Canada are convicted criminal institutions. And so for people to try to play both sides of the fence, to be taking government money and then speaking out against them, doesn't wash anymore. And I think this was, you know, my concern. And I know, you know, you and others have expressed that too, to say, well, how can we really talk about building a new foundation for both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people if we're going to be feeding from the trough of the very body that committed genocide on our people? So that, to me, was kind of the main thing that got flagged for me last week. And, you know, again, I'm not so much passing judgment on Joshua as that whole attitude that I find really common in the Aboriginal world, that somehow they have to play footsie and have a relationship with these criminal institutions. And it's time to, you know, to walk away from that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin, one of the things that stood out for me when there was Joshua spoke about the government programs, and one of the things that stood out for me was that these programs always, especially programs coming from the government, always seek to control, and these programs, you know, they are evil. They suppress. They suppress the. They're evil, and not in the sense that, like, there's evilness in the sense that you can kill or murder the person, but there's also evil or murder that kills the spirit, and kills the individual self-determination, and that's what really we're talking about here. Is the suppression of the intentional suppression of the spirit here, and cutting the spirit off from source.
Right.
That's just one thing that stood out for me.
Well, yes, and you know, I've had, like, over the years, my first exposure to this as a non-native was, you know, of course, as people know, working on the West Coast with the Notshalnuth, the Ahiats, the other West Coast tribes. And what blew me away was when we first began to show that the government and the churches had deliberately killed off tens of thousands of their children, which has now been admitted officially by the government last year, finally. I was in at the first court case where the charges were being brought against the United Church and the federal government. Well, believe it or not, the United Church pays for the hotel rooms of all the defendants. And the government is saying, well, you can have healing money, like the so-called Aboriginal Healing Fund. You know, you can have this money as long as you don't sue the churches. You know, this corruption runs right through the system. The very people who perpetrated the murder, the sterilization, medical experimentation on children, mass graves all over this country, the same groups that do that are turning around handing out money to their victims and saying, you know, be good little boys and girls, take the money and shut up. You know, that same kind of paternalistic attitude, like you say, that runs right through the system of Indian affairs. It's so disgusting when you see it up close that I don't understand how any self-respecting person would have anything to do with this system.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right, Kevin. And this is a prime example of why we simply have to walk away completely from the system. It's impossible to have one toe in the camp and one toe out. You know, it's either you are either for God or you are against God. You cannot have it both ways. There's no gray area. The system is corrupt. It is absolutely evil. They seek to control further the natives. The middle class are also specifically beginning to wake up and going, whoa, hang on here. Like there's an attack going on people's livelihoods. These are white people. These are European, you know, settlers, and they're beginning to wake up to the colossal lie and the adversary's game.
Right, and you know, now is the time for leadership to show to people we can break away from the system and establish something different. We have Teresa Harrison on the other line. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me?
We sure can. Welcome back, Teresa. Yeah. It's always good to
have you.
Now,
thank you.
We were talking just now, Teresa, about the need for people to step out of the system because of its corruption, and there's no better example, we think, than what's happened to Dean Clifford, and you've been right on the front line with him for a long time. I know that this week is an important week for Dean, who's been falsely imprisoned for over a year in the Brandon prison. Could you talk a little bit about what he's facing? And I know that a couple of shows back we did ask people to come out this week to support him in Winnipeg in the courtroom. Could you update us?
Sure. I was just speaking to him this morning, and the bail hearing is tomorrow in Winnipeg at 9 a.m., Queen's Bench on York Street, 408 York. And he said, please, as many people as we can get there, please show support because we need to be a unit. We need to be a group. We need to be moving our freedom. A lot of people are standing still, but nobody is doing anything.
Could you tell
A lot of people agree, but nobody is there.
Could you tell folks who may not know about Dean's case exactly, why he's in jail and what he's facing?
What he has now with the last thing that they've invented is he has gun charges. They call it improper storage of handguns. Well, what happened is, one, they broke into his home illegally. On the police report, it even says they used a knife to break into his house without a warrant. They broke into his locked-in gun cabinet that had his grandfather's antique rifles, and then he did have some, so they say, some rifles that were not locked up in storage. So the charges are improper storage of of weapons, and because there was ammunition also not locked up, they say. There are also, charges with that. So there's like 8 charges, but it all has to do with the same thing. Interestingly enough, a week before they arrested him, Canada quashed their 3-year mandatory sentence for that same charge. Now, they had already known. So a little shaky, and I personally believe it's because he's teaching people about their human rights. Our Constitution, the Charter, says everybody has the right to teach it in groups, in public, and yet they arrested him.
Well, they arrested him in Ontario, in Hamilton, I believe, right in the middle of a workshop, and dragged him off. And now,
with no warrant.
Now, a judge, I would assume, in any bona fide court, if a cops are like breaking and entering to get evidence, if they're acting without warrants, that whole case should be thrown out immediately because of no due process whatsoever. So how did, you've watched how did they justify this? I'm sorry?
Well, they've denied him due process.
Clearly.
His movement is a threat. He's a leader of a gang, they're calling it now. They have attached a couple of labels to each other, and they're now saying, the Free Man Movement. Dean happens to be the leader of the Free Man Movement, which he has never stated, which he has never... I mean, he's often said, which many people have said, I am a free man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you find with these Crown Courts, like in any Crown agency, they have these rules on paper, but they just throw them out at their leisure. They invent new rules as they go along. I mean, has that been your experience with this case?
Absolutely. Pretty much everything. I mean, he was denied his habeas corpus, which is, that's one of the first most important rights you get. Habeas corpus, return me my body. And he's been denied that. He's been denied a pen. He's been denied paper to even have his claims. He's been hauled out of the jail at 5:30 in the morning, dragged to Winnipeg, and said there's a court case. They get there and they find out there is none.
Right.
Just recently, they said there was for March 9th. They were going to wake him up, bring him to Winnipeg. They found out there was none.
I mean,
so they keep on cabling these cases, but they're never there. They're non-existent.
Clearly, he's a prisoner of conscience, and he's, you know, Canadian police in Vancouver, in Toronto, and other places have been named at the United Nations and other places of having committed torture on prisoners, of violating human rights again and again. Is this? Have you gotten any indication that his case is getting known around the world at all? Have you gotten any kind of, you know, response from outside of Canada?
Well, actually, I was just helping him by going through his mail. He has got numerous letters from Australia, from England, all over the world that are watching this case. It's amazing the support that he has from out of the country.
Mm-hmm. Katie, do you have any thoughts or questions?
Yeah, he's there's two things. One thing in talking to Teresa or hearing you talk now, and, you know, in private, is it very much sounds like they're trying to break him, Teresa. What do you think about that?
They are. Moment? Oh, they're absolutely trying to do that. They're trying to take his property away. I went to look at some property today to take pictures. They're trying to say that they went there and they boarded up his house, saying that the house is littering, the yard is littering, and it's basically there's garbage all over. So I went to take pictures. There is mm-hmm. nothing there.
Mm.
You know, it's ridiculous. They're doing everything. They're trying to. What was the last thing I was looking at? They're trying to take his properties away from him. They're trying to put ridiculous charges. And my understanding is if you're in prison, the banks can't foreclose on you because, I mean, otherwise they'd foreclose on everybody. Well, they're trying to do that. And to the best of his abilities, while he's in there, while they're not a lot, he has no access to the internet. They're denying him a pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they were saying you can't even use that type of paper. You have to use this type of paper. I had dropped off some encouraging cartoons last week. When he got them, which he should have got them the same day, they were ripped. Some were missing because I know exactly which ones I dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Are they breaking him? They're trying to break him.
It's another, you know, example of control, this breaking of the person, like I was talking earlier about evil. And remember, it's that evil, murder, is not restricted to the body. It's possible to kill or attempt to kill, you know, any form of these sentient attributes, like the emotional, the mobility, the awareness, growth, autonomy, your will, without actually destroying, you know, the body. And it very much sounds like that they are trying to break Dean in an attempt to, you know, control him, to make them controllable, to foster dependency, to discourage him, to break his spirit. It very much sounds like that is what's going on in Dean's case.
Well, and also to make an example,
there
are other people off. I mean, you know, clearly, you know, I know from personal experience, you strike somebody who's a public figure and they figure everybody else will run. And, you know, I don't think in this case this is working, though. I know from being in Winnipeg and talking to people, a lot of people are very angry. And I've been rallying around this more and more. So, Teresa, let me ask you, you know, people often say, well, if the system is up against somebody, where are you going to take, you know, where are you going to go for justice or resolution if the system's so fixed? So we have talked about convening common law court in Brandon to look into this. Is this something that you see as a possible answer or an answer to what's going on?
Yes, I do, because common law court, I believe in my understanding, is that has precedence over any courts in Canada. Mm-hmm. And if any law is not according to common law, then common law is the primary law. Something interesting that I was just reading and how they twist the courts by their terminology, their legalese, is when you go into court, if you're legal, I mean, if you're guilty or not guilty, which is their terminology, because when's the last time you heard the word innocent in court? You're either guilty or not guilty. when you go into court and you don't plea, they will say, because I've seen this happen numerous times and they've already done that to Dean, if you do not plead, they will say, since you're not pleading, we will put in a plea for you. I mean,
right
there, I mean, how is that your rights? Now, what we've learned is if you were to just say in that court, and it doesn't matter if it's tax court, whatever court you want to be in, Queens, whatever, if you stand there and say, I deny all allegations, that is the only time that you will be innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. Until you say that you deny all allegations, you are guilty until you prove you are innocent.
That's right. You know, this basic stuff people need to be educated about. Something as simple as when you make a claim against somebody, you post something publicly 3 times, and if it's not challenged, it becomes law. It's called a true bill. And at that point, we found this with the evidence about genocide in Canada. For years, we published it. There was no answer. When we did the court case against the Crown and the Vatican, they never answered. They didn't plead. They didn't challenge the evidence at all with their own evidence, counter evidence. So that's an admission of guilt. That's what people don't realize, how the law is really in our hands. We can adjudicate against anything, especially a system that's obviously persecuting somebody like Dean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, when you go to court and you say that I am requiring the administration of justice, they automatically have to protect your human rights. It's something else that nobody is told, nobody's aware of.
Can you repeat that, Teresa?
That you require the administration of justice,
okay,
administration of jurisdiction.
Right. Well, you know, as part of when Karen is calling in after the bottom of the hour from Ontario, and she's been organizing some of the branches of the Republic in Ontario, they're doing a sheriff training workshop in Ottawa, and this is one of the things that we're trying to show people that it's now necessary to take the next step and establish these courts and bona fide sheriffs who can issue the warrants, who can enforce the common law verdicts. And just for people who are listening, if you go to the website, our official site, canadarepublic.ca, you'll see there listed not only the common law training manual, but the sheriff's training manual as well. Please read through that. That's going to be some of the material that you can use in organizing your own local meetings and workshops on this stuff. So we're going to, Teresa, in a few minutes, we're going to take a short break, listen to a tune at the bottom of the hour. And then when we come back, hopefully Karen will be on, and let's kind of try to integrate this discussion with some practical suggestions for people, how to get involved in, you know, making sure that these things like what's happened to Dean don't keep happening to our people.
Okay, perfect.
Also, Katie, you know, one thing I'm hoping, that it's kind of frustrating we only have an hour on this show because it doesn't really give us a lot of time often to get into things, but I want to continue to keep going back to the whole question of how do Native people fit into this whole idea. You know, there was the suggestion put out last week that, well, the Republic's just this, another white person's idea of what to impose on Native people. The reality is the Republic, and based on common law, is not imposed on anybody. It's a voluntary association to replace
right.
a criminal institution called the Crown. So we got to not let ourselves be divided, Native against white. We got to come together and reclaim the land.
And that's exactly what they want, is division, conquer and divide. How many times have we all heard that? That's exactly what the adversary wants.
Well, they're good at it, you know. People don't trust a lot of people these days, and there's a lot of fear and misunderstanding. So we have to continually reassure people, this is a work in progress. This is our republic and our common law that we are establishing. And it'll take years, but at least we've started. And we need everybody's input and involvement to be working together and not against each other. And again, just to remind folks, canadarepublic.ca, please read through that material and write into republicofcanada@gmail.com to be involved, to find out who your local convener is. We now have over 1,000 people across the country working on this. We are best organized in Ontario, where there's 9 functioning branches now. Out west, where we actually have more members, people are a lot more dispersed. They're, you know, in the ones and twos. They're in small towns all over the west. And we got to start bringing these folks together. So this is some of the practical on-the-ground work that we're going to be doing. Why don't we take a short break now, listen to an inspiring song from South of the Border during their revolution, and then we'll be back after the bottom of the hour.
Oh, all to the borders, Vermonters, come down with your breeches of deerskin and jackets of brown. With your red woolen caps and your moccasins, come to the gathering summons of trumpet and drum. Come down with your rifle, let gray wolf and fox howl on in the shadow of primitive rocks. Let bear feed securely from pig pen and stall. Here's two-legged game for your powder.
And that's the Ballad of the Green Mountain Boys, the first armed group that took shots at the British Army 250 years ago almost now. And we are joined back here at Republic of Kanata Radio, Radio Free Kanata. And we are here every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we are very honored to have with us one of our conveners, one of our organizers from Ontario, Karen. She's on the line. Hi, Karen.
Yes, hi, Kevin.
It's really good to have you on. I know you've been very busy, along with some others in Ontario, organizing workshops, organizing the branches of people who are committed to the Republic and to common law. And I wonder if you could just give us kind of a little report about all that, and especially some of the upcoming workshops in the sheriff training, which is so important.
Yes. One of the things that... Most of the activity is around Ottawa and Toronto, and there are others scattered around Ontario. We're having local promotional meetings in Ottawa and in Toronto, in the Toronto area. Actually, in Toronto, it goes farther west to Kitchener and Hamilton. And we're also having, both the areas are involved with the training for sheriff training. Now, I call it sheriff and enforcement training, and also the common law court training. So we're kind of including that whole thing for the 13 people who are enrolled in that. I'm also including myself because I'd like to start some meetings in central Ontario where I am. The first things that we're doing is reading the materials, your common law training manual and the sheriff training manual. And people, we do have one. We did have two, but we now have one person that knows a bit about military procedure and also self-defense, who will be training on some of the physical aspects. I've suggested a couple of tapes on common law for starters, and by Rayanne Baines, Common Law Court Meeting 1, and another one, Coventry Common Law Court Meeting, Part 1. And I found that they were pretty getting to the specifics about how to convene and operate common law court, which, of course, we need to do in order to have... Or the reason why we need the sheriff enforcement, I suppose, one thing is to follow up with the common law court.
Yeah, it's very vital. I wanted to ask you, how are you finding the people who are coming forward to volunteer? Their level of enthusiasm and commitment, you know, are you finding that,
yes,
you know, with the people who have come forward?
The people who have come forward are quite enthusiastic, and they're creative and coming up with their own ideas, and although we are sticking with the main, you know, foundation. I have the sheriff's badges, and we're ready for that. I know there's a group out in Cornwall who is kind of involved, but they're more involved with the border there, with the child trafficking over the border,
yep,
corruption on the reservation, and police harassment at the border.
Yes.
So they won't. So they're not now covering promotional or sheriff training at this point. But there is a link there to Ottawa.
Teresa and Katie, jump in at any point if you have any questions or things you want to ask or say.
Hi, Karen. This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
When is your training? When are you starting your training, or have you already started it?
We've already started. They'll have to get up together and meet. A lot of it's home study, like reading the manuals and the tapes and that, the videos, I mean. And from there, they would be having regular, ongoing meetings. And they would talk about Sorry, I'm a little nervous here. I'm not a pilot.
That's all right. You're among friends.
I wanted to ask you, Karen, is for the sheriff training, is it open to is there a concentrated time frame where I understand that people would physically have to be there, but is there a time frame where it runs, like, say, for a weekend and then a consecutively over a period of weeks? How does that work?
I'm letting them decide on the frequency of their meetings. I'm suggesting, you know, frequent meetings, but flexible according to their needs. In Ottawa, people are closer together there, and in Toronto area, they're more spread apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so travel would be one thing.
Yeah.
We're looking at aims and discussions. An aim would be, one of the most popular aims is a security network for the area, so that if someone, let's say, is getting beaten up and thrown out of their house, you know, by the bank or the police who are supporting the bank, then there would one phone call be made, and then the network would be informed and people would be right over there. That was one aim and to discuss. Another would be the promotion meetings. There could be, because we're speaking of our rights, there might be some interest from Canadian officials. So not that we're having enforcement right there at the meetings, but a badge could be handy for sheriffs just in case something came up, because in those meetings, no official capacities, you know, we're not looking at any official capacities unless the sheriff needs to stand up for it.
Okay.
So there are a bunch of us, I guess probably about 15 at the moment, who would go out and serve. They're ready to go out and serve stand-down orders, and it would be valuable to have security to protect, let's say, the camera holder, or,
right.
You know, just to keep sure that everything is good there in serving a stand-down in person to figures.
There's... go ahead.
Oh, that's very important. And I was thinking, Teresa, if only Dean had have had that kind of common law group around him to protect him, you know, during his workshop and that. We've got to look to our own security first so people feel encouraged to get involved. You know, so I really want to commend folks on that, Karen.
Yeah, there's power in numbers, eh, Kevin? It reminds me of the fella, Kevin, that you're having on next week, where he was conveying the story of an elderly, well into his elder years, and his actual mortgage was paid off, and the banks came to take his home, and the community rallied in the numbers of like 80-some people and prevented the sheriff from evicting him out of his home.
Right.
And this elderly guy is still there in his home.
Yep.
Excellent.
That's the point.
Well,
that's
come
along, actually.
It's the kind of thing that you need.
Yep.
Yes, and I find that this is a, with Kanata, it's a ground-up, from the ground-up government.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that people are just learning, I think, because we've never really made decisions. The Canadian government has made our decisions for us, and this is a different dynamic for most people. So these local promotional meetings can can be also a beginning for people to get together after learning a few of their rights to talk about local issues and decisions for the country to, you know, from the ground up. This is something, again, that we haven't been familiar with, and it's a tough thing to learn sometimes to unite and make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The local promotion, we're calling them, well, I'm suggesting we're calling them, you can call them whatever they want, but we're suggesting that they call them, I'm suggesting they call them Know Your Rights meetings.
Right.
That's not as scary as saying kick out your nasty government meetings. You know, I've posted flyers around and they get torn down quite quickly. So I know that in local, not everybody, local areas, not everybody can understand it until they know their rights. And Dean Clifford is certainly one of the key, you know, displays there, along with a couple of other of the best Canadian human rights teachers, and along with displays with Kanata and ITCS. But a lot of time for mingling, and then a circle for discussion.
That's right, and some folks know as well, starting in the spring, we're going to be doing kind of a cross-country tour back and forth. More likely in May, by the time of May, we're going to be doing kind of a systematic tour of all the branches and everything, organizing public rallies, putting this on a bigger scale. One of the things that we have, as a matter of fact, there's discussion in the works of establishing an actual television program.
Hey, Karen,
that's exciting.
I'm sorry, you mentioned that you are using tapes to study with. What specific tapes are you using to follow?
Videos. Well, anyone, I suppose, could go on the internet and find information on common law, convening common law court, and what I've, along with the materials from Kanata website, the videos from others. Well, Rhianna Baines is, I think, in England, but the whole common law court setup, I believe, is very similar or the same all around. The one was named entitled Common Law Court Meeting 1, and there was another good one, Coventry Common Law Court Meeting 26/07/2014, Part 1. And from there, I'm hoping that people will pursue some of their own information on that.
Yeah, just
those are the first.
For information purposes, we are, as part of this kind of cross-country tour, by then we're going to be organizing actual video resources. So the kind of, we have a training manual now, but we're going to actually have instructional videos that people can use in their communities. We wanted to wait a little bit because the different regions of Canada is so vast, there's different priorities and interests and experiences that people want to put into these training videos. So, you know, again, that's in the works, but... you know, the whole point is to get people trained to do more than simply be educated, but actually take action to establish, you know, the jurisdiction of the common law. And that's, like you say, Karen, people have to kind of start thinking in a new way with this stuff.
Yes. I found that a lot of people will join and expect some leader to do all the work,
uh-huh.
and or they'll have all kinds of ideas to for me to do. And I said, if you have an idea, then it's, and that's your idea. That's something about you. You know, you should do it. And then I would support, you know, that action. We've had some discussion on currency, some discussion, well, with just various individuals on how to, where to cut off the government, where the cutoff point where our wealth comes back to us. There's a gentleman in Huntsville who is connected with some other people, and they're examining that exactly. And we've been making improvements to the draft constitution. There's a lot of input from Ontario, and there have been some changes or suggestions made that we'll be submitting back and see how that looks.
Good.
Also court watching. There's an interest in watching courts, you know. when you go and watch a court, there's probably a lot of things we could, if someone's knowledgeable about the law. Courts need to be watched, I would say, some of them. So that's another interest. I believe in the States they're doing things like that. They have large groups, at least 17 will come in to watch the court, just to be a witness. So, yeah.
Like a court? Do you mean like a court hearing, Karen? Like a hearing?
Yes, let's say a hearing for someone who traveled down the road, didn't pay the government hundreds of dollars in order to do that, you know,
right.
type thing.
That
kind of thing. Just these kind of ideas have been put around, and we have. I guess the best format so far we have is the chat groups that we're creating for certain topics and chat groups related to specific areas, locations, to bring those people together, to help bring those people together. My job is to connect people, and I suppose a lot of it is to place them and to motivate them and to have them realize that there is no particular authority here that anyone can complain really about, because it's us. It's us. We're the authority. So then we can get on with making our decisions for ourselves, you know.
So, Karen, I had a question.
It is a logical twist from what we've been used to.
I had a question, Karen. I remember originally people talked in Ottawa about holding, Teresa asked when these things are going to occur, the workshops. Wasn't Ottawa talking about March 24th as a date for the workshop?
Yes, we had a couple of dates set out. Now, we didn't have, the trainer from Toronto wasn't, there was some difficulty getting everything together, you know, coordinated. So I thought, I'll leave it to them. Hand it over, I'll leave it to them. And because I can't be traveling to every branch, I'll support them from where I am and give them what I can and encourage them to, you know, and they are taking the initiative. They are very excited and for the promotional, they're creating displays. They're preparing for the promotional meetings and also for the sheriff enforcing. They're looking for places and things where they will hold those actual physical training sessions.
Right. I know that they were especially excited about the idea of serving the stand-down order on the Governor General, who's the so-called head of state in Canada, in case people don't know. It's one man called the Governor General, who's the Queen's representative. Of course, he's a representative of a convicted felon, so we say, well, it's time to step down, fellow. So that should be a lot of fun, and the important thing is remember to have fun while you're doing this stuff, folks. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, to what Karen was talking about, you know, people joining and the responsibility doesn't fall just to one person. It doesn't fall to you, Karen, Kevin. People write in, you know, what can I do? What can I do? Oh, my God, like, if I had a quarter for every email that I received, well, what can I do? Like, I'd be rich.
Right.
But perhaps not, because then maybe the government would take my money. So, you know, we didn't get into this mess. We got into this mess because we are not taking responsibility for ourselves. For our families, you know, we're leaving it up to somebody else. So somebody else will do it. And we need to get out of that habit.
Yep.
It is nasty.
Yes. Well, it doesn't serve us in what we're doing.
No, it doesn't. And we didn't get into this mess overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. It's going to take a lot of hard work and grassroots planning and organizing, but you know, it's our lives and it's our families' lives at stake. What else are you going to do?
One thing I want to mention.
It's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. I want to mention, too, to folks that one of the areas we're working on, too, of course, is physical reclamation of the land. And it's one of the proposed planks of the new constitution of Harganata, which, as Karen mentioned, is still under debate and amending. One of the planks in the Constitution is to provide 200 hectares to any family who wants to farm in Canada, because there's vast amounts of land presently owned by the so-called Crown, that criminal body, which have been nullified. Their authority is nullified in Canada, and that land is standing wide open. So we intend to go in with trained sheriffs and reclaim the land and set up communities based on the land. There's a couple of spots in Canada where that's already going to be in the works over the next year. And we want to really encourage that, especially the people listening in the rural areas, to find ways to support you in literally nullifying your mortgages and debts and reclaiming your land in community with others. So that's a really important project. And I know, Teresa, you know, being in Manitoba and being a farmer yourself, that obviously is something that is close to home for you, too.
Well, that's excellent. And you know what? Somebody who knows that well is Dean Clifford.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Dean Clifford knows how to take over Crown land, acres of Crown land. He's very knowledgeable. We just had a brief discussion on that, so I have no knowledge of it at all, except for our conversation. And he is a wealth of knowledge in that area.
Well, once we spring him from prison, we're gonna be working actively with him and pool that knowledge and put it to a practical purpose, which is, you know, providing a new start for many people in our country.
That's right, and he has been completely prepared to be able to offer that.
Teresa, just to add
that you know, Dean's knowledge in reclaiming, you know, land. There are other groups that I won't mention, but that are presently working on that very thing right now, and they're breaking a lot of ground, doing meeting weekly, and just educating themselves in that very area, and just doing outstanding work.
Right, and we're not, of course, we're not reinventing the wheel with this, folks. Like, there's a lot of things people are doing right now that we want to build on. The important thing to say to everybody is stop looking to the Canadian government. Members of Parliament take their oath of allegiance to the Crown, to Queen Elizabeth, not to you. There's agents of a foreign convicted power. And so it's important to say, okay, let's do all this work, but under a new jurisdiction, the common law jurisdiction and the Republic. I think that's the thing to start uniting people on. And we've got about 5 minutes left. I want to ask Teresa if you could report or repeat the information about Dean's court appearances this week and to encourage people to come out to support him.
Tomorrow at 9 o'clock in Winnipeg, Court of Queen's Bench on York Street will be his bail hearing. And on Wednesday is a pretrial hearing. I'm not sure what time that one is yet. They keep changing it and hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
So we know
why.
At this moment that it's 9 o'clock. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Is there?
We've been doing that for a long time. Yeah.
Would you like to give out contact information, or should I just ask people to write to republicofcanada@gmail.com if they want to assist?
Yes, that would be excellent.
Okay, so that's anyone who wants to help out with that campaign. If you're in Manitoba, please be down there in Winnipeg this week to support our brother Dean. republicofcanada@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Karen, any words about just to kind of remind people of things that might be coming up in Ontario?
I would say, I think the most important is to grow the numbers with promotional meetings and also the sheriff training and common law court training and the enforcement and deputizing and all of that. I think that really needs to come first. Then to gain those numbers, then, of course, reclaiming the wealth back from the Crown.
Mm-hmm. And
Karen, how can people get a hold of you or to get involved with the sheriff training?
Yes,
for those
I have
who are
an
listening.
Email.
Yeah.
stand up at unseen.is. That would be my email.
That's stand up at unseen.is.
Yes.
That's for the anyone in Ontario who would like to organize a branch or be active with this work. Thank you, Karen. You know, you're doing such valuable work. You're an example to many people who are kind of holding back. You know, you're just this ordinary woman who came forward and is doing a hell of a job. So, you know, again, thank you. Look forward to seeing you soon.
I hear it behind me, and it is my duty as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
You're doing a great job, Karen. Yeah, I just want to thank you. Keep up the excellent work. I haven't met you face-to-face yet, but we will in a very short time. And, yeah, you're just doing outstanding work. Keep it up.
Katie, final thoughts before we sign off?
Just that each person needs to basically get off the fence and reclaim, you know, our rights and reclaim the land. We need to walk away from this government, the government of Canada, which isn't a government at all, is a corporation. We got to take responsibility for ourselves. We didn't get into this mess overnight. It's going to be a lot of hard work and a long haul, but you know, it's worth it. It's our very lives and our children's lives. But we can do it. We can do it if we band together,
right?
And work hard at it.
Thanks, Katie. I want to thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, Radio Free Kanata, and it's the website kanatarepublic.ca. This is Kevin Annett. Keep it strong. We'll talk to you in a week.